Welcome, welcome. Today we are going to talk about a secret to growing sales and winning arguments. That's right, growing sales and winning arguments. And this show is brought to you by the great Donald Trump. It's not really sponsored by him or anything, but I got the idea from him because he is applying basic business strategies and business concepts and ideas to his debates. We just had a debate last night. To his political strategy. And still, people don't seem to be picking up on it. And I'm not quite sure why. It seems pretty obvious to me. So we're going to talk about it. I want you guys to understand it so you can start using it too. I think it is actually really effective. And I've become actually a big believer in applying this to other areas besides business because of just how effective Donald Trump is. It's pretty amazing. The success he's been able to do. Did you guys hear that Brett Weinstein, the evolutionary scientist who actually has some kind of moral compass, don't know where because he's an evolutionist, but somebody who seeks the truth, that's trying to be honest, doesn't agree obviously with anyone on this network with a lot of things, being an evolutionist and atheist, I believe, got banned from Facebook. Somebody on the Facebook side, he's atheist, he's secularist. I mean, he's just not towing the line of the progressive. So I wouldn't say he's on his side. I think that's a misrepresentation of him. I apologize, Brett. But he's somebody who you would think would be on their side is what I'm trying to say. And he's banned. How much longer do you think we got on Facebook, on Twitter? Facebook's like the most mild one out of all of them. I mean, Facebook still censors and stuff, but they're not as bad as Twitter. They're definitely not as bad as Google, YouTube and such. And Brett Weinstein types are getting banned. When do you think you and I are going to get banned? And I say this, guys, because we have a call for you to join us and become of the Fight Laugh Feast Network, putting HTBT in the code to sponsor this show. And what is happening is that you are truly going to help us, partner with us, and help us proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. You're going to get great show content. You're going to get discounts on the conferences. You're going to get value too from this. But you're going to help us create a place for when these sites kick us off, that you still have a place to hear us, that you still have a place to come and listen to our content. So if you've not become a member yet, I would urge you, if you find value in our shows, in my show, if you want to continue to see us, to hear from us, if you want to continue to give the chance for other people to hear and to see us, then go become a member now, because we have to continue to be building out these platforms. We have to continue to find places where we can retreat to and still have a voice, because they're coming from us. Because if Brett Weinstein, the evolutionary scientist who believes on mostly everything that they do, he's just not going along with the progressive narrative and the totalitarian tactics. If he's getting removed from Facebook, still doesn't know why he was removed, then it's coming for us. It's going to happen soon. If it's happening to him yesterday, there's no reason to think it can't happen to us today or tomorrow. So please really consider supporting us. Consider helping us continue to be on the air. I don't know if you guys believe that it's important to have our voices and not just have Big Eva and their platforms and to let them have their liberal way. You know, you just read John Piper's article and he's just a bunch of mush. And if you're looking for leadership that is biblical, trying to be faithful, trying to be clear, trying to give great direction, clear vision, then you need to support us or we're not going to be around. And so just a call for that. Please think about supporting us. FLFnetwork.com. And then if you want to support the show specifically, put in the code HGBT. I'll send you one of those 15 ounce mugs in the background. Okay, so one more thing before we get to the conversation of the show. And I, you know, normally try to get to it pretty quickly and I apologize it in, but I just got to give some props. I got to give some props to the listeners, the people on social media. If you don't follow me on the social media sites, on Parler, someone was making fun of me for a show that I was on, Dead Men Walking podcast. And the title of the show was the the poverty gospel. And someone called me the Reformed Joel Osteen, as you know, as a joke, as fun. This guy, he's a supporter of the show. He interacts. He's a good guy. And he's just making a joke about how I'm the Reformed Joel Osteen, which hurt a little bit. I'm not going to lie. So I posted that because I thought it was funny, too. I thought it was funny. I posted it on Facebook and Twitter. And then someone on Twitter made this book cover and said, you should write a book, Your Best Reformed Life Now. Playing off the book by Joel Osteen, Your Best Life Now, Your Best Reformed Life Now. Everything about this book is, or I mean, this book cover, this page is so well done. So well done. The Reformed Joel Osteen, some rando on Parler. Who authorized this? The good old Federal Vision Captain Doug Wilson. I claim your royalties, Socialist Timothy Keller. I mean, this is fantastic. If you are listening to this on the podcast, I highly recommend you go check it out on social media. Follow me on there as well so you don't miss the fun stuff like this. Well done, guys. And seriously, I love you guys so much. It is so fun interacting with you. That's why I love when you reach out to me, follow me and stuff. This is just, it's just good. It's so fun. It's so encouraging. So thank you, everyone, for that. I really appreciate that. All right. We covered the Brett Weinstein thing. Trump is inviting as his guest the old partner of Hunter Biden, from what I understand. Yeah, Biden's former business partner in the Chinese scheme, Tony Babalunsky, will be Trump's special guest at the final debate. Man, does that guy know how to fight. And what is he doing here? And this is what I want to talk about. Now, we've talked about the importance of your brand. And we've talked about this from not just what we think about when we think of a brand, that is your company, your logo, your product, your positioning based on price, that is all going into your company brand. But we've also talked about it from a personal perspective. And I've told you before, I think I've told you before, about in business school, how we had to write three adjectives that described us and what we thought were the most descriptive things for us. What three adjectives most described us? And then we were anonymous. We put them down and the teacher held them up and we voted on who we thought the person was that described themselves in those three adjectives, because those three adjectives was our personal brand, what we thought our brand was. And then the amount of people that could guess who it was, you know, either was funny, intelligent, or whatever we put. And we were all MBA students, so we all thought we were, you know, pretty great. And depending on how many people voted for you, that's how strong you knew your brand was. That means that how noticeable and recognizable your brand is. So if everyone guessed your three adjectives, then you definitely did a great job of reinforcing that image that you thought you had of yourselves, and everyone agreed that that was your brand. If no one voted for you and no one knew who you were talking about with those three adjectives, then your brand is really weak and people don't recognize your brand. And they don't recognize who you're trying to be. And this is important because the good old Simon Sinek, who is an atheist as well, this is Atheist Day apparently, he talks about the why. He has a book about the why. And I think it's so right on. And I think that's what one of the things that Big Eva misses with being so ambiguous and being so uncertain and not wanting to take a stand by anything is when you as a company, when you as an individual have a stand, you have a why, you have a vision, you have an identity, it allows people that are like-minded to come and rally behind you and rally with you and identify with you. Apple has a huge brand image that people identify with. It's a lifestyle. It's who they are. They're part of the Apple team. They've rallied around what Apple represents, and they have a very strong brand. Like, I can say Apple and you already know the color schemes, you know the spacing that they have, you know the products they have, you know if something they, if there was an imposter who came in with a fake product or a fake website page, you would know instantly that it wasn't part of it because their brand is so strong and people rally behind it so passionately. And so this is how they grow their sales. This is how you can grow your sales, is to work on what you want your brand to be. And then to think about and to implement different strategies and tactics to make that a stronger brand. You can do things to get people to think that or to recognize your brand the way you want them to. That's what advertising's about. That's what marketing is so much about. That's what public relations is so much about. I mean, if you wanted to think about it, when you are talking about a podcast, there's people that have podcasts on their video where they have like the professional looking mic, but then they have the actual lapel mic as their actual microphone. And the idea is that they have an image. They want you to think that you're in a studio. Like I have a poor, if I wanted to portray to people watching on YouTube that I am a professional podcaster, that I am, you know, backed by serious money, I wouldn't have this background. I would be in a studio. I would have a very great lighting. I'd have professionals come in and do my lighting, but I don't care about that. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm something I'm not. And so I just have my desk. I have my desk behind me. I have the actual books that I've read back in the day. I have my work computer behind me. I, you know, this is just my desk. So I would, if I was trying to be a professional and that was my, one of my brand images of like a professional podcaster, then I would have a poor job. You would not recognize me as a professional podcaster or a YouTuber. So that's not my brand. That's not what I'm trying to be. That's not what I want you to think that I am. And so this is true also. So you could, you work on that brand, you get people to identify you in business as an individual. And you see this in business too, with individuals, with like the CEO of T-Mobile or the old CEO of T-Mobile, Tim Cook. Steve Jobs, I almost blacked out on his name. Like they had an image to them that people coalesced behind, that they rallied behind, that they wanted to be like. And so it's really important to think about that for yourself. And you have that too. And it's like if you never shave and you never shower, like people are still going to have an impression about you. It's just going to be that you're smelly and stinky and you don't take care of yourself. Or you could shower, you can, you know, grooming and have good hygiene. And then people will think, hey, oh, he's actually what, or he or she is well-dressed and they're well-groomed. Like regardless of how much attention and intentionality you put to your brand, just like the smelly, stinky person or the well-groomed person, they're going to have an impression about you. Your brand is going to be known to people. You're, oh, that's Matt. He's the loudmouth podcaster. Oh, he's the entrepreneur. He's the how to build a tent guy. He's the reformgelical guy, or whatever it is. Or it could be something else. And people are just going to have their perceptions about you. But you have a choice to control that. And you have a choice to change it, improve upon it, and all of those different things, just like you have a decision to make if you want to do grooming, if you want to shower, and all that good stuff. So people are already going to put a brand on you. You might as well control it and emphasize and work on the brand that you want people to perceive of yourself. And this is where the second part of the show comes in, and how to win arguments. And this is something that Donald Trump has done so well. And people get like, oh, he didn't win the debate last time. I heard that so much. He didn't win the debate. He didn't score logical points, or however debates are scored. Yeah, you think of like Yale versus Harvard in the debate club. And that there's like, oh, he got 1 point for a body shot. Or, you know, now I'm going to the UFC. But what? How? I don't know. How do you score a debate? It's just, I don't know. I never was that smart. So, but this is the thing, is Donald Trump in the last debate and with all of his opponents, you think Sleepy Joe, low energy Bush, all of the different characters that he does, what is he doing? He's branding them. Remember, we were just saying in the business world, your company has a brand. You as an individual have a brand. So do you in politics. So do you in the language you use in debates. And if you understand this principle, that in real life, not in the country clubs, not in the debate clubs on Harvard and Yale, but in real life, in Twitter, in politics, in just normal business negotiations, when you control the narrative, when you control the language, when you control how your opponent is viewed, you have won. When Sleepy Joe is Sleepy Joe, when he's Corrupt Joe or whatever he's calling him, you have a bunch of preconceived notions of what it means to be sleepy and to be corrupt. And you assign those to him, whether it's true or not. Now, I'm not saying to be tearing people down. I'm not saying to bear false witness. I'm not telling you to do those things. But it's important to be... It's important to recognize when it's happening to you and to be able to control it. And it's also important to understand those kinds of things when you are engaged with it as well and to use it to your advantage. I think there are Christian ways where you can brand people. And I try to do it on Twitter if you want to see examples of it. But I think we do a good job with it actually in a lot of ways with Big Eva, with talking about how they're ambiguous, how they're squish. We call people squish all the time. We make fun of... what's his name? Eric Mason. We make memes and GIFs out of him. What are we doing? We're branding him as a joke. And he is a joke. He's a heretic talking about things that are not orthodox. And he's talking about reparations for people of a classification the Bible doesn't have. And what are we doing really with these memes and the GIFs? We're branding him. We're doing a marketing ploy. And so people... That's how he can write that book. AD talked about this last week too. That's how he can write a book called Woke Church 2 years ago. And today, all the woke people are trying to get away from that name as fast as possible because we've ruined the brand. And that's what's happening. And that's how you win. That's how you win arguments. That's how you win debates. That's how you win battles. As you control the language, you control the narrative, and you control the image of your opponents. And that's how you win. That's how you increase your sales. Or no, that's how you grow your sales. And that's how you win arguments. I'll talk to you tomorrow.